Fight!
Welcome again to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And last week we played Sunset Riders, a game.
Great game.
Yeah, a game we really seemed to enjoy. But did we enjoy this week's game as much? You'll have
to
wait and see.
Stay tuned to find out.
Okay. In like 5 seconds.
No, it'll be more than 5 seconds. You might not even know until the end of this podcast.
I'm going to save my opinion for the very end.
Yeah, like...
Please do.
Yeah. In fact, Kenny, don't say anything until the end.
Best
Dustin
podcast yet.
So we are in the final month of 2015. It's hard to believe. And I think that it would be good to start by reflecting on this past year. And so the question that I have for both of you, as well as for myself and for our listeners or viewers.
Viewers, yeah.
Is what's been the most enjoyable game you've played this year? Okay, so that doesn't mean that it had to come out this year. It doesn't it doesn't mean any of that. It just means what game did you play this year that you enjoyed the most? And that's any kind of game. So that would include your I mean, it's got to be a video game, but
okay, not going like outside of video games.
No, but I mean, there's
okay.
Video games.
Because then it's not even a question. It's like dumb Monopoly over good game.
Sure,
best
but,
game.
But there's video games that are card games. You see what I'm saying? That's what I was.
Oh,
just,
absolutely, there.
And there's.
And
know,
I'm probably about to answer one of those.
That's fine. That's fine. So just give it a little reflection. I'll start so that y'all can just think just a little bit. I played a slew of games this year, including the ones that we played on our list, which were, you know, some great games, some terrible games, but also some great games. This was the first time this year that I played Mass Effect, and so that was a lot of fun. But you know what? I don't think that my answer is Mass Effect, because it was also the first time this year. It was earlier this year, but it was the first time that I played Child of Light.
Oh yeah.
And
I never got around to it.
I heard all really good things.
Dude, for me, that game did something. I don't know, but like...
The art style.
The art style, the music, the... even, like, it's an RPG. Like, I can level up, and I've got different characters, and I can pull...
Turn-based battles.
Yeah, dude, I'm about to go play it right now. Like, let's quit this podcast. I'm serious. Like, it's the only game I ever played start to finish... back to back twice. Like, as soon as
wow.
I beat it,
that's huge for you.
It is huge for me, because I've never done that before. But is what they did with Child of Light is they allowed you to keep your levels and your maybe even your skills. And so
it was New Game Plus.
It was
pretty much?
It was New Game Plus. Welcome. Huh. And so probably that's what I've got to say. Mass Effect was great, and it's right up there because it's an incredible game. But Child of Light took it from me this year. What about you, Nolan?
I could say Fallout 4, but I won't, because I haven't played it enough for that to be my answer. Sure, it's been enjoyable and I love it, but I don't think I've given it enough time to answer that question with Fallout. So Kenny might be touched by this one. Earlier this year, I got back into Diablo 3 after they kind of did the whole Reaper of Souls thing. I played when it first came out. When they had like the auction house and all that stuff. And they've changed it a lot with Reaper of Souls DLC and like with seasons and leaderboards and stuff. And I started a new character and convinced Kenny to buy it and start one too. And so we played a lot of Demon Hunter and Wizard, Kenny?
Wizard.
You played
always Wizard.
Always Wizard, yeah. And it was so much fun looting and getting legendaries, and I had a lot of fun with that.
I'd forgotten that was like in this year, because it's been a while. That was earlier in the year. That was a blast. That's a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all went off the radar for a while, and I didn't have any friends.
You didn't have the game.
You could have been looting with us.
Kenny.
If I had... we've had lots of fun games, and playing a lot of these old ones has been fun. Civilization 5 was a blast.
No, it wasn't.
When I went into that kit.
We know it
was. It was so much fun. But probably the game I played the most, just because I'm a little bit addicted, is a card game called Dominion. Started out as a board game. There's a digital implementation of it now, though. So you play online against other players. It's strategy, real fairly simple, but kind of high like ceiling of complexity. And so it plays a lot of fun. If anybody likes strategy, board game, card game kind of things and hasn't played Dominion, they need to check it out.
You know, Kenny, I thought it would be Hearthstone for you.
I did too.
I did play a lot of Hearthstone. I've not for the last couple of months. I've actually been playing more Dominion, which is
really
than Hearthstone, which I'm is okay strange. I need to get back into it. Like,
no.
Oh,
you don't.
Why not?
No,
it's a fun game.
Dominion's better.
Yeah, Dominion.
Dominion doesn't have a mobile client yet, and Hearthstone I can play on my phone.
Okay, that's fine. Develop it, Kenny. But like, Nolan and I support your Dominion, you know, playing, and we haven't really given you the go ahead on Hearthstone.
On Hearthstone,
so. Yeah. Okay.
I'd say stick with Dominion.
I'll keep it in mind.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's interesting hearing your games. No, I did not expect either of those answers from you guys, and I'm sure y'all didn't even consider Child of Light from me, but that's fun. There's some good games out there, possibly including the one that we played this last week.
Definitely.
Can I be honest and interrupt your segue?
Go.
I'm a little surprised you didn't say Civilization 2.
Who, Dustin?
Yeah, you liked that game so much.
We kept talking about it weeks after.
Let's do an overview for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Overview.
So Sonic was the first release in the highly successful Sonic franchise, and it was published by Sega in 1991 for the Sega Genesis. They were looking for a kind of a counterpart to Mario, and in fact they said, like, hey, we want a character that's just as iconic as Minnie Mouse, which obviously that's not going to happen, but they tried their best, and the people at Sega produced this spiky blue-haired hedgehog named Sonic. And he runs extremely fast, hence the name. And this was the first entry into the series. You play as Sonic. It's a platform video game, so you're moving from the left to the right most of the time. And you're just moving incredibly fast. And y'all are going to have to help me with this because I just gathered from my playthrough. It's not like it's the deepest thing, but you're trying to defeat Dr. Robotnik, which is a humanoid guy. And he's kind of like this mad scientist that... What has he done? Like maybe captured the animals of the...
He's put all the animals and robots.
He took all the adorable critters in the world and put them in a machine.
And you gotta
jump on it to set them free.
And when you kill enemies, they get freed. If you didn't,
that's
know.
True.
Oh.
I didn't kill a single enemy.
Kenny,
that's such a lie.
True. And so that's what you're trying to do. You're freeing the animals, and you're defeating the bad guy, and I mean that's the basis of it, right?
Yeah, it's pretty basic. That's about it.
And spinning in circles while you move really fast.
Yeah, and so that's a huge part of this game that possibly wasn't kind of explored as much in other games up until this point. This is a fast move. It's not like walk through and really enjoy the scenery and every element of the stage creation.
I feel like if you're playing it right, you're going really fast. But you gotta like know what you're doing to do that. And so I walked around a lot.
You walk.
You walk.
I mean, he runs.
Well, it's no longer.
But you know what I mean. Like you like chain one speed thing to the next, and like you know, you'll fly up a ramp and then bounce once and keep going and hit a mark. And like people who really know what they're doing, it really is like a frantically fast-paced game. Yeah. And I was, you know, playing through it. I didn't know what things I was about to do, and I have good reaction times, but not that good. And so it was fast, but it wasn't like furiously so. You have to like stop and go up ledges and figure some things out. I don't know.
Anything that is does not allow you to like sit and contemplate a decision for 30 minutes before you make a 30-second action is too fast for me.
That It's like every game.
No, there's plenty of games where I can stop and plan out for a few days before I do something.
You just want to like turn-based role-playing.
Well, not only that, like I'm playing Far Cry 4 right now, and so before I do anything of significance, I'll sit there and weigh out, you know, the consequences of going about it, you know, before I do it.
There's a pause button.
Right. Yeah. But no, that kills the momentum. Like, this game is completely built around speed.
No, yeah, it is.
That's the purpose.
I feel like less so than other Sonic games, if I recall. I feel like later in the series, they did that even better.
Sonic 2 definitely gets faster, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I have memories of Sonic 2 where it's like, action, move, mm-hmm. move, go. Yeah. And I got less of that here, because mm-hmm. you'd have to like stop and jump on things and... You know, yeah, the kind of obstacles I felt like slowed me down more in this one than in other games. But it was still definitely that vibe.
Yes. Yeah. And it's early enough that, you know, in production, there's no cut scenes. There's no kind of like visuals outside of what you're getting in the stage itself. At the end of each stage, or at the end of each kind of major stage, and we'll explain that, I guess, in the gameplay, there's a boss battle, but the boss battle is always Dr. Robotnik, just in a different
little ship. He's got a little, like, he sits in this little cockpit, and there's a different mechanic on each boss fight.
Yeah, like a different vehicle he's in, a different mechanical construction that he's in, and so there's a different...
Can we just call it a robot?
No.
Like a different mechanical
device.
Device, we'll say that. Okay. We'll say sentient device, we would definitely not say robot. So it's a different way that you go about defeating him each time because of the different device that he's in. And so that's the overview. Do y'all have anything else to add? I mean, the graphics, I guess we can talk just generally about the graphics and the audio, but the graphics, I think, are wonderful. I mean, still.
Yeah, it's a good-looking game.
Like, for the backdrops on the stage, for the age of this game, 16-bit cartridge, it's awesome backdrops. Like, I always thought that when I used to play it when I was a kid, too, that... these really plain levels from left to right seem a little bigger because of the really pretty backdrops like behind you.
Yeah.
And then in the foreground, really colorful, with like almost neon, like so many colors going on, which is pretty unique, I think, around that time, at least for a platformer. And so it's very pretty to look at.
It definitely has a unique style that like fits the game and really... is almost part of like the iconic feel of Sonic.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
you know?
The checkered design on things.
Right,
and...
right. Oh, goodness, that is true. Like the ground. I mean, it's got grass, mm-hmm. At least in your first zone, the Green Hill zone, you've mm-hmm. got grass, but then your earth is checkered, which mm-hmm. obviously is, you know, resembling a race flag or different things like that. I mean, it's got this whole idea of speed. It's beautiful in color, just as you mentioned, Nolan. And then each zone has different looks and different appeals and very significant measures. And we can talk more about that as we go into gameplay.
Gameplay.
Did either one of you find this game, like, really hard gameplay-wise?
Because
wasn't this, correct me
no.
if I'm wrong, was this both of your, was this your first time playing this game?
I've played a little bit of it, not enough to really count, not enough to like know what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's been years and years, and I've played more of the other Sonics than this one.
This is probably the Sonic that I played the most out of all of them. That being said, I haven't played it much. It's kind of like going off of what I said earlier. This game is all about fast gameplay, which I am poor at. Like, I really do like slow, plan it out, make your decisions, know what's going to happen beforehand. I mean, both of you guys know and might have joked about me using strategy guides for a lot of the things
that
I do.
Yeah, just because you're kind of a completionist. Like, but you want to do everything.
See, and that's my problem. With a game where you've got to move so fast, you're inevitably going to miss things.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You
and,
can't do that with this game. I mean, that, you can, but...
No, you can't. I mean, that's not how you're
supposed
to play this
game. You can't get every ring, probably.
But it's not even every ring. Like, that wouldn't bother me, but, like, if... I mean... you're going at such speeds, and there's multiple levels and height, you know, on each uh-huh. stage.
So, yeah, you kind of have to choose which tier you're going to go.
Oh, sure. And without even planning on it, you could end up on a totally different tier when you finally put on brakes. Like, mm-hmm. And so you're not able to necessarily, unless you're so familiar with the stage, you're not able to plan it out because little enemies are jumping out everywhere. And so you just got to keep going, because if you're not spinning, those enemies are going to hit you rather than you hit them. Mm-hmm. And so for me, this is just me. For other people, this game, and Kenny, you said it's not that difficult for you. Nolan, I imagine it's not that difficult for you. For me, this is one of the most difficult games.
No, wow. I don't think it's not difficult. Wow, words. It was a difficult game, just not like especially so. Relative to some of the other games we've played that I'm like, man, that was hard. Mm-hmm. This game I felt like had challenging parts, but nothing that I didn't feel like I could do.
I gotta say, I still got it. Like, I didn't die that much when I played this game. I mean,
really?
Yeah, I was still used to it. It was familiar, and I knew what I was doing, and it was a lot of fun. Sure, I thought it was difficult when I was a kid. I mean, it's still kind of challenging, but I don't know. I think the controls are really intuitive. And I know that might not be the case, or you may not think the same, but I like the basic controls.
Well, I would really like to watch you play it, because
I like how straightforward it is, for sure.
Oh, it is straightforward. So, I mean, you've got your directionals, you know, obviously, and then you've got three jump buttons, which do the exact same jump. So it's not it's a difficult process.
I never thought about that. It's so, like, they had the Genesis controller. They could have done more, but they didn't.
Like, I was expecting, and this is probably in Sonic 2 or in the future ones, where I could hold down I could charge up a spin.
They introduced that in Sonic 2.
Yeah, I realized that you couldn't do that immediately, because you've only got your three, you know, Genesis buttons, but each of them are the same jump, which I like that simplicity. And with mm-hmm. with that limited, you know, control scheme, they did a lot.
Yeah, it actually works really well, considering.
Yeah.
But I do think they possibly could have done more.
So in Sonic, similar to Mario, kind of Dustin was talking about how they wanted to have their kind of mascot. Similar to Mario, in the stages, you collect, instead of coins, you collect rings, which essentially do the same thing, right? However, they're your health.
Yeah.
That mechanic I like, where you gotta have rings.
You lose your rings, and you have a chance, a very brief chance, to collect them back before they despawn. And if you have zero rings, you get hit, then you die. So it's an interesting little like currency / health bar mechanic that I never really paid attention to until like years and years later, when I'm like, that's not how it's supposed to work, but it's really cool that that's how it works.
No, it's a really creative answer to that problem. And it forces you, like, while you're trying to go so fast, you still have to get rings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's an interesting sort of like value proposition.
The game is divided into six zones, and it starts with the Green Hill Zone. That's about all I know.
Oh, really? You didn't get past Act 3?
I did, but okay. And they're divided into acts, just as you said. Does each zone have three acts?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. So it's three different versions of the same type of stage. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's fair to say.
Fairly. They're unique.
But they're the same theme.
Same theme. Same like. So Green Hill Zone Act 1, Green Hill Zone Act 2.
Right.
But each one kind of gets increasingly difficult. Sometimes they don't, but usually they'll introduce some sort of different level mechanic or design as the acts progress.
Overall, difficulty did ramp up, definitely. Yeah.
With the third act ending with a fight with Eggman. And so
which is Dr. Robotnik.
Dr. Robotnik, yeah. He's called Eggman in Japan, I believe. I've always called him Eggman because he looks like one. That's kind of how each zone is set up. Three acts, final act is a boss.
And each zone, when you switch zones after Act 3, you go to a different theme. And so, right. You know, the next one I think is like more of a marble type marble. Setting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then you've got some underwater stuff where you've got to, Sonic has got to like suck up a bubble that is coming up from the ground to be able to replenish his
oxygen.
Can I
be honest? I hate that every freaking game feels obligated to put an underwater level in.
You just hate it because those are the most difficult ones.
They're always the worst.
This one was so cool.
I don't know. It still bothered me. There were some interesting things about it. Like, I still had fun playing through that part. But overall, I still rolled my eyes and went, ugh, a water level? Of course they did a water level.
You should have expected it.
I know, I should have, but that doesn't mean I have to be glad that it happened.
Just about as many times as... See, the enemies in the stages were not my main my major problem. My biggest problem was falling in ditches and on spikes.
I knew you were going to say that. Oh, absolutely. Spikes.
Because I'm trying to go so fast, and then I just jump, you know, like I think that I'm just doing some incredible, like, bound through the air, and then
you just fall into nothing.
I fall into nothing, and
or land on an enemy. Yep.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And it's usually right before the checkpoint, or I just jumped over the checkpoint. So I have to start the stage over.
Oh, yeah, that's worth noting, too. There are checkpoints. It's kind of like a little iconic noise it makes when you get it. I can't mimic it, but it's like this little... It's like a halfway mark. Yeah, those were in Super Mario World, right? Where if you die, you just start back at the checkpoint. So that's that helps a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Those are nice.
One of the things that I just found out before recording, I was playing some more right before we went to record, is that... And I think this has to do with the storyline, but if, and I don't know what does it, but at the end of an act, sometimes there's this huge golden ring, and if you jump through it, I believe it takes you to a bonus stage.
Had you not done any of the bonus stages?
Well, I had done the bonus stage, but okay. I had never gotten the Chaos Emerald in the bonus stage.
In the middle, yeah.
It's
until right before we started recording, because I got that Chaos Emerald, and it acted like it was a big deal, and now that I think about it, like, to actually complete the game in the correct manner, do you have to get all those Chaos Emeralds?
Yeah, if you beat the game without getting all the Chaos Emeralds, you beat the game, but Dr. Robotnik's kind of in the frame, like, laughing because he has all of them. If you beat it with all the Chaos Emeralds, then there's a little scene where Sonic... like throws them in the air, and then I don't know what he does with them.
You
That's
get,
pretty
like,
much all that happens.
You
just
get
them
like,
from
extra flowers that grow or something. Some kind of extra animation goes on.
Oh,
yeah. I never knew what happens. It's just kind of like 100% type of thing. I was always satisfied with not getting them because when I was a kid, I wasn't sure what triggered the thing. I think you have to beat it with a certain amount of rings.
I think it's a certain amount of rings at the end of the level, but I'm not certain.
And plus the actual. Like little mini game is, it's so Sonic though. Like it's kind of not that fun.
I thought it was a blast.
It's pretty. I mean,
once I figured it out, where like it was rotating, but you could like control the rotations based on what you hit, and it was difficult enough to feel like a challenge, but didn't feel impossible.
It works.
I don't know. It was cool. I felt like it was a good fit.
As a mini game. But basically, you have to the stage is rotating, and you're in a ball as Sonic the whole time, and it's kind of like pinball. And I feel like this is definitely where they got it. Like later in the series, they make a game called Sonic Pinball, and it's like a mini game in some of their games where Sonic is in a ball, and then you have to make your way through this really weird rotating plane and.
Huh.
Get to a
that
chaos
actually sounds kind of fun. Oh, you mean is that how the mini game works? Or I'm sorry, that's how the Sonic pinball works? Or you're just explaining the mini game?
I'm explaining the mini game.
Oh, gotcha.
I've actually never played Sonic Pinball.
Neither have I.
Sure, it's different. I'm just saying it's definitely where they started and got that from, that idea.
Absolutely.
I mean, they had to have because it looks like kind of a pinball.
I am a little intrigued, though, that there's a Sonic pinball. I didn't know that. And the pinball levels in Sonic games, Sonic 2 has them, you know, this first Sonic, there was one of the acts that had some pinball elements. Those have always been some of my favorite Sonic levels.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready to move on and talk about how it aged?
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do it.
Aged.
This is bold. Out of all the games we played, this might be one of the best ones that has aged. And again, it's the game, I think. I mean, the game is itself has aged. But they created a character. They were successful in creating a character as iconic as Mario. Not as iconic, sorry, but an iconic character that they could call their own that would rival other companies.
I'd say near that level.
Yeah, I mean, he's big deal. Like, you know, I mean, you probably know who Sonic the Hedgehog is. And I love this character. I love Sonic more than I love Mario. And it's just the way that the series itself has kind of declined as far as the games that they've put out. I'm not sure the deal they have with Nintendo. I've never understood if like Nintendo owns Sonic now or what, but he's in Smash Brothers, and I don't know if they've worked on some of the games or not, but like his games have actually declined, and that's really unfortunate. These early Sonic games are definitely my favorite, and I think that they are so playable now, and I think it aged beautifully.
I agree. I don't think it's aged one bit. Like, for fans of this type of high speed intense game, I think it's still extremely playable.
Yeah.
I think the music is stellar. You know, we haven't even talked significantly about that, and you're a huge music guy, Nolan.
I've saved it because when you asked about if you ask about favorite things,
sure. But I'm sure you appreciated the music.
Yes.
The character design, I really do think they created a great, you know, iconic staple. And then you can't deny the major impact that this initial game had on, like, the console's popularity. Like, I really think that they helped Sega not die.
No, hugely. Like, without Sonic, I would have feared for that company.
Yeah. And so Sonic really did that. But then, and it... They've talked about Sonic Pinball some, but the franchise from here has just launched out, and there's been a lot of Sonic games, and some successful, some less so.
A lot not.
Yeah, a lot not. They've included some other major characters. Like, one of my connections to the Sonic universe is Knuckles. Because,
yeah.
And now that I'm really thinking about it, not only because I thought he was cool back in the day, and he's like just a red character that joins with Sonic, he moves a lot slower. And so that's, you know, he's more
kind of like the muscle.
Yeah, he's more of a powerhouse guy. And so I'm all about him. I'm sure Kenny is all for Tails. And
you just stole my thunder. I was going to whine so much that Tails wasn't in this game.
Right.
And that he's the best character in Sonic. And
play Sonic 2, Kenny. It's so fun.
I might. Like, this kind of got the bug going for me.
You know, yeah. I imagine, you know who Kenny is like, and you might have to help me, Nolan, okay. Or maybe one of our viewers, but in a more recent Sonic game, there was this Sonic character that everybody laughed at that fished. I think he's got like a fishing pole and he's like a big cat. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
What is this?
Is this in Sonic?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Let me look it up. I'm actually not sure because I haven't played like the newest Sonic games.
Since the character's fishing, I'm going to assume that this is high praise.
Sure. You can believe
it. Kenny loves fishing.
I like to fish.
It's funny to look who voiced all the Sonics in the games. Jaleel White voiced him one time, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's Urkel, right?
Yeah.
All right, Big the Cat.
Big the Cat.
His name's
Kenny?
Big?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I take it back. That's the worst name. And he's awesome. A cat?
No, but... Kenny, you are him. Look at that. Kenny, look at this
Let
character.
Me look. I think you guys are... probably really wrong.
No, and as
we'll
you're looking, let me just read. Big's reception by critics has been strongly negative. Generally focusing on his obesity, low intelligence, and uselessness within games he has appeared in.
Cream the rabbit if he's not Big the Cat.
Cream the Rabbit?
Cream the Rabbit.
No, let's not even talk about that. Big,
I'm without words.
Big has been ranked on numerous lists of the worst video game characters of all time.
Gosh. Are you serious?
He reached the top eight in a tournament voted on by readership of 1UP.com of the worst video game characters ever.
Thanks, Dustin.
I didn't know all this.
He didn't know this.
Thanks.
Big's poor reception and lack of perceived use to the franchise caused Sonic Team in 2012 to decide not to replace him in any more games.
Aw, Big the Cat.
So on that note, guys, this podcast has been fun.
Aw. Okay, I change it. You can stay Tails. That's fine. Nolan is Sonic, you're Tails, and I'm Knuckles.
You get to be Knuckles.
You know, Tails has like a real name. His name's like Miles Prower.
Oh, yeah.
I think
it's like a
Miles.
First and last name.
Uh-huh.
I did. Hey, Sonic also went to be a television show, animated television show.
We don't
know. Yeah, it was terrible, though.
Really? I thought... Oh.
And, you know, they're trying to reboot the series. They're trying to, like, revive it, and so they had a show planned. I don't know if it's out or if it's not out yet or what happened with it.
They did so many wrong things with the franchise. Like, it's their own fault it died.
I love the series, and some of the newer games are good, like Sonic Adventure DX was so fun on GameCube.
I tried to play one of like the RPG style Sonics, and like it was terrible.
RPG style? Are you talking about like Sonic Adventure, where it's almost like you can go around
the
city?
3D, and you're like walking around, and I couldn't stand it. It didn't feel like a Sonic game to me.
Y'all should talk over each other more often.
I mean, we're excited about video games.
That's Kenny that does that.
That's Big Cat. That's Big the Cat. Let's sum this up.
The final shell shock.
What was your favorite zone?
Mine was Marble Zone because I love the style and the music.
Jenny?
I think I'd have to agree. That was the one that had all the really pinball-y elements, if I'm remembering names right. Correct?
It's kind of like, what's the word? It's like Greek feeling, and you can go underground, and it's lava.
So I like the one with the lots of bouncing
spring yard.
Things.
Yeah,
and then I like the pinball-y one.
Spring yard was the third zone. My favorite was Green Hill.
Yeah, that music. You
the
can't
one
beat that
you
music.
Got to know really well.
Yeah, I got to
well,
know
it's pretty
it really
too.
Well.
And
no, it is good. It's an iconic look for them.
That's my second question. What was your favorite zone's song? And mine was Green Hill, but not just because I spent the most time there, but because I thought, like, I don't know, I thought that Green Hill music was
amazing.
Was the best music in my opinion.
I agree.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's at least the most like Sonic feeling iconic, you know, in my mind.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I agree. It's always been one of my favorites. I mean, I like all the music, obviously, but Green Hill Zone is so good and definitely iconic. They brought it, you know, to Smash Brothers. It's one of the songs that you can put in the fight stages.
Really?
There's a few areas where the music gets a little repetitious for me. Overall, it's good music, but there were moments that I was kind of like, eh.
Scrap Brain Zone, the last one, has some really good music, too. That's also in... Like, it's really recognizable because they put it in other games. It's also in Smash Brothers, I think. But this soundtrack is so good.
How intense is the music when you're drowning?
Oh, it changes, and it's like dun-dun-dun-dun. It's like shark music.
You're right. I mean, it really knows how to give you anxiety, like to find a bubble or get out of the water as soon as possible.
And then you like could find some bubbles, but there's not one that's coming up
right.
yet.
The like, can, like big one doesn't come out.
You just have to wait there, and then the big numbers come up on the screen, and then last moment, well, you still die. So
see, that's what makes the water stage manageable to me. I like it.
Yeah.
It was a hassle. It's like going on a road trip and having to stop for gas at every single tiny little town.
Who do you relate more to? Okay, we already talked about in the Sonic verse and Tails and Knuckles and Sonic, but you've got these two iconic characters that kind of led the industry. You've got Sonic and you've got Mario. Who was the one that you like stand by and you'll defend still today?
Mine's easy. It's Sonic. I mean, I know that this game. may not be as accessible, or wasn't as accessible, because a lot of people, or a lot of my friends growing up, had a Super Nintendo or a Nintendo Entertainment System. And Sega was kind of weird. It was like, I don't know, it was almost like the off-brand Nintendo. Like, you wanted the Nintendo. But we had a Sega Genesis, and so that was my console growing up. I love Mario. I love Nintendo to death. It's probably one of my favorite gaming companies today. But I will defend Sonic, because I love that character, and I love the Genesis.
Yeah,
so much fun. So Nolan was kind of a video game hipster before hipsters were even a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a few people with Sega Genesis, but most of my friends growing up did not have Sega Genesis.
It was weird. I don't know why we had one.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, what about you? Mario or Sonic, or neither?
I don't have a strong affinity for either. They're both iconic. They're both fun, but
yours is more Pong.
Yeah, like I enjoyed the games, but I don't feel like any real sense of loyalty to either one. You know, I don't think this is a, I don't know, what are all the debates about?
No, that's fair.
Hunger Games relationships or Twilight camp choosing? Like,
I don't think it's a war. He's just asking.
Oh no, I know. Just the way he set it up, like Mario or Sonic, and I just. Like, they're both great games. They really are. There's different things that each do better than the other one, and I've got fond memories of both.
See, and mine is easily Mario. Not because I'm a huge Mario fan, although I have enjoyed some of those games growing up, Super Mario specifically, but Sonic just, and I've said it many times already, but Sonic is just one that I was unable to connect with as a kid, just because of my personality and the things that I enjoy in a game. And so I always liked the character. I liked the idea of this fast-moving hedgehog that was blue, that was completely naked, but only wore red tennis shoes. But I never owned a Sega Genesis, because I'm not that skilled when it comes to these fast games, Sonic was... I never really connected with Sonic, in which I did with Mario and his universe, because I had a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo, and so I was able to play some of those games that had Mario in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
You also like plumbing as well, so that...
Right, that's what I do for a living now, and and Nolan runs really fast for a living. So.
In red shoes, with no clothes on.
Do that every day.
He's a pro.
Well, at the end of each and every episode, we select a new game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days.
I'm not done with this one, though.
But, well, I mean, you can continue to play it, but we're going to have to move forward and play a new game. We had some great games that came into us this week, sent via email from Andrew and Antonin. I think that's how you pronounce your name. And that they suggested a whole slew of games. So we've added it to the Retro Master list, which you can find that link on our social media. But there's our list there, and it's growing, but it's incomplete.
Absolutely. So thanks for sending those games in, but definitely, guys, keep suggesting, you know, your fun games, your miserable games, whatever you want to hear us talk about, we want to play it.
We take those items, the games from the list, and we put them in a randomizer. We spin the wheel, and we randomly select a game that we're going to be playing for the next episode. And I'm going to spin the randomizer now. The game that we're going to be playing now was a suggestion that just came in actually this last week, and it is a 1997 game on the PC called Atlantis: The Lost Tales.
I quit.
I think you quit before. You gotta rejoin. I really think this is going to be a fun game. You need to look at some of the images, or even just the Wikipedia page. It looks like it's a fun game. I've never played it. Have either of you?
I haven't. I was whining about the last game I had not having Tails in it, and this one's The Lost Tails, so I'm going to like it.
On that note, you said you think that you have, Nolan?
Yeah, it sounds familiar, actually, but it's PC only?
I don't know if it's PC only.
If it's PC only, I may not have.
It started on PC.
Okay. It sounds familiar. I'll check it out. I'll see.
Yeah, it's not one I'm familiar with at all, so it'll be fun to explore something new.
We would love for you to play along with us. You can send in your commentary on the game and on your experience to us on our Twitter or on our Facebook, even on our SoundCloud or through email. Everything is /NGP podcast. NGP stands for New Game Plus Podcast. Our email, ngppodcast@gmail.com. We would love to talk about your experience as we talk about ours next week on the podcast, but we can't do that if you don't send in your thoughts and experience of the game. So please, please, please do that. Some of you that have been talking to us on Twitter and through Facebook and even sending us emails, that's like the highlight of our week. We always
absolutely it's super fun when we know people are playing with us.
Seriously, we pass that around and we that's kind of like how, I mean, we get numbers and we get statistics of who's listening from where, and that's cool, but the coolest thing, at least in my opinion, is when we get feedback from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep it coming. Dustin, since we are drawing near to the end of the episode, am I allowed to give my opinion about Sonic now?
You can now tell them what you thought about Sonic.
This was a good game.
And with that, we will see you next week on New Game Plus.